Well, amen. What a blessing that was as well. I just love the music in the church. It just prepares the heart. It is that which honor and glorifies the Lord. And it's just a blessing to look forward to that every Sunday and every Wednesday, every time we assemble ourselves together, being able to sing praises unto the Lord from the hymns, amen, the old hymns of the faith. And then to hear specials like that, it just stirs the soul, and we just appreciate each one. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7 this morning. And if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 7. The Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it has been a blessing already just being in this place. And we thank you for what we've already received. But now as we have an opportunity to open up the precious word that you have preserved for us, and as we have read this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for each one of us from this passage. And I pray, God, this morning that you would just give each one here an open heart and mind to receive that which you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God had used the Apostle Paul to pen this particular letter to the believers in Colossae. The believers in Colossae had and were being tempted to turn away from biblical Christianity that Jesus Christ himself established. And we find here in verse 4, the Bible says, "In whom are hid all the treasure," verse 4 rather, "and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." There were many there that was trying to get them and deceive them into turning to some other form of doctrine or some other type of religious thing. And we find in verse 8 it also, he says that as well. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments or the ways of the world, and not after Christ." And so you can see here in those verses that he is warning them, and he understands what, even though he had not been there, they had not seen him face to face, but he is aware of what's taken place there in the church at Colossae with the believers. Can I tell you that God knew that this message would be needed throughout the New Testament church age? And so this message has been for every church of every church age since the beginning, some 2,000 years ago, and it is very applicable even for us today in this 2016 and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here today. This is very applicable because there's a lot of deceivers and there's a lot of things taking place trying to turn the true believer away from true Christianity. And as we look at our country, and no doubt God has blessed America over the years, and God has used America and the principles that we founded this nation upon, based upon the very words of God. And so it is true that God has lifted up this nation to be able to give opportunity to take the gospel to every creature around the world, to obey the the Great Commission. I think that has proven itself out over the history of the United States of America. People come here mainly for religious liberties, amen? And we have allowed them to have those religious liberties. And so, but the USA is becoming more anti-Christ or anti the teachings of Christ today, more so than ever before. And our laws have and are drifting away from biblical Christianity. And the Bible, the laws that we have established for this nation to live under have been biblically based. And there's no doubt about that. If we look at the history of our country and the Ten Commandments that we have and used to present very proudly for everyone to see concerning that's what we have based our laws and our on this great nation for upon. But that has, we have slowly but surely drifted away from this idea of biblical Christianity. And can I tell you, with all the things taking place today and the election coming up here this next month, the election will have an impact on how fast we drift. Now, the Bible tells us that in the latter days there's going to be greater apostasy, and that is turning away from the doctrines of Christ and the teachings of Christ, and that is what Antichrist is all about. But this election will make a difference. I believe it will on how fast we'll drift. And so I would encourage every born-again believer to understand the biblical principles and vote according to biblical principles. And I'll tell you, nothing else, the life of the unborn is something that we had better take serious. And I don't preach politics in the church, but I do want the church to have a voice. And I do want every born-again believer to take advantage of the opportunity that we have in this great nation, and that is your right to vote. And so I would encourage all to vote and to let your voice be heard. And because we are drifting away from biblical-based Christianity, and I believe the election will determine how fast we drift. And so that's something that we need to understand. And Paul understood that's what was taking place in here in the church at Colossae some 2,000 years ago. And Paul wanted them to know that he had been praying for them. That's why he says, "I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." And he understood, he wanted them to know that I understand what you're going through. And if you look back over to chapter 1, and he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And so he had been praying for them. He wanted them to know that he had been praying for them, that they would have wisdom and knowledge, that they would be able to hold on to that which God had given to them. And he refers to that in verse 3 as, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul wanted them to know what you have received from the Lord Jesus Christ and biblical Christianity is a treasure. It's something that you need to look to as and guard as the treasure, because it gives you the wisdom and knowledge of God. And so it's a treasure. In Sunday morning Sunday school, we started this morning in our adult classes and teaching on wisdom, amen, and understanding the need for wisdom and making it a priority in your life. And I would encourage all to come back next Sunday at 10 o'clock and learn what the Bible teaches concerning wisdom and knowledge and understanding, things that we ought to make a priority in our life, that we might have that. And so Paul here again says to them, what you have been given through Jesus Christ and the mystery of God is a treasure. It's a treasure of wisdom and knowledge. This treasure, which is more valuable than anything this world has to offer, is found in the mystery of God. That's what he's talked about in there, verse 2, when he says of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, this also, if you look over in verse chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27, he explains what this treasure is. He says in verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from the generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And so this treasure that they needed to hold on to and to work hard on preserving and making a priority in their lives to hold on to this treasure is Christ in us, is the mystery that was a mystery in the Old Testament, that when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the Old Testament prophets and the law, that he revealed to the New Testament Christianity. He revealed to not only the Jews that would turn to Christ, but the Gentiles who would turn to Jesus Christ and look to him, of which we are, the Gentiles. That understanding that Christ lives in us, something that had not taken place until Jesus Christ came and paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross and resurrected the third day and then ascended to heaven. And as he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within everyone that would receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. That is Christ in us. That is a treasure that we need to hold on to and understand that. Not only is the treasure of Christ in us, but the New Testament church. What we have and are enjoying this morning as the assembling of the New Testament church is a treasure. We need to view this. This is the New Testament teachings of Christ. It's what Jesus came to establish for this New Testament church age is the church. The church where he is the head and we are his body. And we have this, and it ought to be a treasure to the believer. A treasure to be a part of his church, a treasure to be able to come and experience his presence as he has promised that it would be here and experience what we've experienced here this morning. What a blessing. You ought to look at that. That's a treasure. That's something that you can't get from the world. What you receive from the church, you can't get anywhere else but from his church. And what a blessing it is. It's a treasure. And not only is the treasure of his indwelling within us and the treasure of this New Testament church, but we have the treasure of the New Testament scriptures. From Matthew all the way through the book of Revelation, what we have is the teachings of Christ, which is the revelation and the fulfillment of the Old Testament in helping us to know what the purpose of this life is all about and what we have to look forward to and what is designed in the future with the rapture of the church and the tribulation period and the millennial reign and then heaven, a new heaven, a new heaven, a new earth, that we will have glorified bodies and live forever in this new heaven. What a blessing that is. And this is a treasure. That's what he's saying. These things you have to guard. These things are the treasures that we have today. If you will, look over to Romans in chapter 11, because we find that this is taught throughout the New Testament scriptures. In Romans in chapter 11, in verse 33 down to verse 36, the Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." The lost do not have that. It's a treasure that the believer has in this New Testament church age to know of the indwelling of God inside of you, to know of the wisdom that we can receive from the very words of God, the knowledge that we have through the understanding of the scriptures. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You can't find this nowhere but in the Bible. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This is what the knowledge that we have of God. Matter of fact, now look at the 2 Corinthians with me. I want you to establish this. You have to realize what the Bible says about this being a treasure. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 3. I don't think that we see it as that we ought to be looking at it as a treasure. You have a treasure that is worth more than what you can gain in this world. And that is Christ in you if you're saved. And you have the New Testament church. And you have the revelation of the scriptures, the full prophecies of God concerning the understanding this present time and the future. We have that. It's a treasure to have that knowledge. And he says here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." The lost do not have this treasure. They do not have this wisdom. They do not have this understanding. That's why they make the decisions they do. That's why they live the way they do. And the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're blinded, and if they don't get the blinders off, they'll never have this knowledge and understanding. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we have this knowledge that the world does not have. We have this understanding that the world does not have. And then he says, but we have this treasure. Again, he refers to that as a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What a blessing it is to understand what Paul is talking about in chapter 2 and what he is referring to and relating to those believers in Colossae that are being encouraged and being tempted to turn away from what Jesus Christ established himself as biblical Christianity. And I guarantee you that if you have not already or are not being tempted today, you will be. And the closer we come to the rapture of the church, that temptation and that deception will even be greater, as the world will drift farther and farther away from the actual teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ are found in this Bible. And it is part of the mystery of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, who helps you to understand the truth. And then the life of Jesus Christ that we have to look to, the New Testament church that he established, and the final authority of being his word that is complete now. These are all mysteries, and now we have them through Christ, and it's a treasure, and we need to see it as a treasure. And so now that you know who he was talking to and what he was addressing, Paul's message to them. And there's more, but in this passage of Scripture, there is a powerful message that Paul had for those believers in Colossae that has not lost its meaning or has not lost the impact that it ought to have on New Testament Christianity today. It's even more important that we grasp this. What is that message? Verse 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Follow his lead. We have the life of Christ revealed to us in the New Testament scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Follow his lead. Look to his example. And then he says, this is what it will be. If you follow his lead, if you're going to do this, this is what you must do. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's a powerful, powerful verse of the Bible. And if you understand the context by which it is given to us, it even is more powerful for us here today. The first thing he says, rooted. Rooted in him. Make sure that your roots are in Christ. Amen. See, the roots are to a plant what a foundation is to a building. He could use the word rooted. He could also tell us, as he does in the Bible, there's no other foundation than what was laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you need to build upon the foundation that Jesus Christ has already laid. But he chooses to use this term roots. The health of a plant is determined by the health of the roots. The strength of a building is determined by the foundation that the building is upon. And so what he's talking about here concerning the roots or the foundation is in Christ, biblical salvation. There's a lot of religious garbage out there today. There's a lot of religions that's going to try to get you to follow their way of thinking. But there's only one plan of salvation. There's only one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three being God. The Bible tells us that. It reveals that to us. There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one day of salvation. There's only one true biblical baptism. We have this. This is the roots of our faith. This is the roots of our life. This is what we need to base the health of our lives on, is the root only found in salvation through Jesus Christ. The lost live without Christ in them. Thus they can't understand this, feel his presence. Salvation is not all about feelings. Salvation is first based upon fact. But once you have God in you, you will feel him. Amen. He'll be a part of every decision that you make, because his spirit now is within you, and his spirit knows you better than you know yourself, and his spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, and his spirit will convict you when you make wrong decisions, and his spirit will give you insight that you make right decisions. His spirit is within you to lead you and to guide you and direct you into living and following after Jesus Christ. It will make a difference. That's the roots of salvation. Biblical salvation begins with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll not even, if you don't have that, you'll not feel his presence. You might feel a lot of physical tingling and things and get hyped up by music and hyped up by people running the aisles and hyped up by whatever other experiences you might have, but that's not truly God. That is a physical feeling. Not going to truly feel his presence and how he works in your heart and your mind. You'll not feel and know of his joy. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And if you don't have biblical salvation, you will never experience the true joy of the Lord. If you do not have biblical salvation, you'll never experience the true peace that passeth all understanding. Religion cannot bring you that joy. Religion cannot bring you that genuine peace. Religion is just religion. We don't need religion. We need Jesus Christ. And we need to be rooted in him. The foundation is Christ. And build your life upon that solid foundation. If you're not rooted in Christ, you'll not continue to walk in his ways. As it gets worse and worse, and as you have a greater and greater temptation from the world to turn away from biblical Christianity, to turn away from what God says when life begins, you'll be confused by the philosophies of man, and you'll say, well, maybe the women do need to have the ability to make the decision whether they murder their unborn child or not. There's no condition for murdering. There is none. There's no right decision to murder. You have to see that as life. And that's just the beginning of issues that we are going to continue to face concerning what Christ has taught and that which will be presented as antichrist and try to convince humanity that it is right. When common knowledge tells you there is a difference between a girl and a boy. And we should not give them the right for a boy to go into a girl's restroom or a girl to go into a boy's restroom. Listen to me. That is common sense. But yet many have been convinced of these things that are drifting away from biblical lifestyle. Biblical Christianity. If you're not rooted in Christ, you'll be persuaded at some point. If you're not rooted in Christ, you're not going to see it as it needs to be seen. And you're going to be focused on things that you shouldn't be focused on when you go into that voting booth. Focus on Christ. Focus on biblical morality. Vote biblical conviction. But you have to be rooted in Christ if you're going to do that. I know that, I don't know, my wife would tell you that I might be obsessed sometimes with my grass, my yard. I like to have a nice looking yard. I like to, my grass to be good and healthy. And so I water it and I fertilize it and I do everything. I don't know why. It just gives me more work to have to cut it more often. Amen. I sometimes wonder, but it is nice and plush and green, and that's what you're after. And so you have to take the good with the bad. Amen. Yeah, it looks nice, but yeah, you have to cut it two or three times a week in order for it to continue. And I remember that there was patches in my yard that were dying. And so I didn't want that to die, so I paid extra attention to that, and I even gave those patches more water. I thought that I need to make sure that it's got plenty of water. I actually took some better fertilizer. I didn't use it on everything, but I put it on these patches. I'm thinking, I'm going to give this grass the best opportunity to get over whatever it's killing it and to try to get it to turn back green and try to get it back to a healthy-looking grass. And I was doing everything I could. And she would even tell you I maybe even prayed over it. I don't know. I didn't. But she might have said, he went as far as to pray over the grass. Lord, please bring this grass back to life. I didn't do that. But I did give it a lot of extra attention, trying to get it to grow and to turn back green. It never did. And then I realized the reason. All that was there was the blades of grass. The roots were gone. And I found this little white little creature underneath there called a grub. And those grubs, they eat the roots. No matter how much I worked on trying to get the grass to be healthy, if I didn't address the roots, it was never going to be healthy. If you don't address the root of Christianity, which is salvation, biblical salvation, God's plan for salvation, not what man's telling you, not what the church might be telling you, not what a religion might tell you, but go back to what thus saith the Lord. He loved you enough to send his only begotten son to die for you. If there was any other way, then Jesus would have died in vain. His blood would have been shed in vain. He did not die in vain. His blood was not shed in vain, because there was only one plan that God had for humanity to be saved, and that is the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. He paid it for us. Biblical salvation is found in no other way than just simply believing and receiving that free gift that he offers. That's the roots. Need to be rooted. Need to be built up in him. Built up in him. Once you make sure of the roots, now I can water the grass, and now I can fertilize the grass, and now I can take the weeds out, and that grass will grow. If strong, healthy roots, if you do what you need to do, the grass will grow. It begins with the roots, and then from there it comes with the growth. Do what you need to do to have the roots to grow the grass. Growth is what's next. Once you know that you have biblical salvation, are you building up yourself in him? 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody with me this morning? Amen. I trust that you are. It's needed, because we will face the temptations and we will face the false doctrines and the false teachers, and you'll face philosophies that's going to try to get you to turn away from biblical Christianity. They might even call themselves Christian, But it is not biblical Christianity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But he says, Peter says here, but grow. If you will, build up in him. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. What you need to be able to be built up in him is to understand his grace. And with his grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growth is what's next. Never become satisfied with where you're at in your spiritual knowledge and understanding. Grow your treasure. Most, as we get older, we establish some kind of a retirement plan. We establish something there. And you don't establish it just to allow it to stay where it's at when you put it in. Hopefully you've done your research and you understand what needs to be done, and you put it out there so that it might grow your investment. So with that growth, it will better serve you when it comes time for that retirement. It's a treasure. If you'll look at your relationship with Jesus Christ as the treasure that it is, why would you ever be satisfied with where you're at when you can grow it? Amen. I was saved when I was 8. I've been saved for 52 years. I've been in the ministry for 36 years. Been pastoring this church for 31 years. And there's still so much that I need to grow. Every time I prepare a message, every time that I get into the scriptures and start breaking it down and letting God speak to me, there's something I learn. Before I can ever preach it, I need to learn it myself. And what a blessing it is. Some of the things that I look forward to more than anything else is God speaking to me and God growing me. I never want to stop that. I never want to stop growing. Built up in him. Never become satisfied. Too many become satisfied where you're at. And if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. Not only do you need to be rooted, that's the first thing. Outside the roots, you can't grow. It's all facade. It's not real. But if you're rooted in Christ, then you have the root system where it needs to be. You have the foundation that's already been laid. And now you just need to continue to do your part and start growing that. Not only did he say rooted and built up in him, but established in the faith. Established in the faith. In life, once you've achieved whatever position or career that you've went after, as you're coming to the end of high school, no doubt some of our seniors, juniors, and seniors thinking about what my future plans. What am I looking? God, what is your will for my life concerning my future? What kind of career am I to pursue? And you need to ask God for that. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And whatever that career is, you need to start looking for the education that's going to help best prepare you for that career. That is just wisdom. That's common sense. That's understanding that this is what I believe is God's will in my life. And once I have accomplished that, and now I have that position or I have that career, whether it's to be a mechanic or whether it's to be a plumber, whether it's to be a baker, whether it's to be a physician, whatever the career, pastor, whatever it is. Once you reach that, you've got the education and now you have the certificate to prove that I have achieved my position, then you want to establish it. You then want to establish yourself in that position to be the best you can be. Amen. To have the reputation that if you have dental work need to see Paul Ellis. If you need a lawyer, amen, need to see Brian. They have established themselves as being the best in the field that they have chosen. You understand that? That's what he's talking about there. A step, not only achieving that, not only reaching it, finally got through the books and got the education. Now I have the certificate to prove I am a lawyer. I am a doctor. I am a nurse. I am whatever it might be. Now you have that. Now once you've done that, establish yourself in that position. Colossians chapter 1. That's what he's talking about, establishing the faith. We see it even more so in Colossians in chapter 1, leading up to what we just read in verse 10 and 11. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto the patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now that you have that, establish yourself. This is a life that you're the testimony that you want to have for others to look to. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. The last thing, the message he tells them that they're going to hold on to biblical Christianity, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Are you thankful for what God's done for you? Are you thankful for what you received of the Lord? If you're not thankful and if you're not giving thanks, you can be persuaded to turn away from it. When we have the wisdom and knowledge of who God is and how he works, it will lead us to always give thanks. Chapter 1. That's what Paul says in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I have an inheritance because I have been rooted in Christ. There's an inheritance that I'm looking forward to. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Christianity. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you'll keep that on in your heart and on your mind, no matter what you have to go through, you'll address it with thanksgiving. For it's the will of God. And only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can lead you to give thanks in all things. No matter what, if you know God is who he is and God controls everything in life and all things work together for good, no matter if I can understand it right now or not, because I know who God is and I know how he works. And the most important thing you can do in the midst of that storm is to give thanks. If we receive this message today, you'll not turn away. You'll not turn away from biblical Christianity. Let us receive it. Let us make sure that we're following the counsel. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you tempted? Have you been? You will be if you've not. To turn away from biblical Christianity. Turn away from what thus saith the Lord. To follow either the philosophies of the world or religious teachings that only lead you in a wrong direction. What we need to do is look to God. Do you have biblical salvation? Are you sure that you are rooted in Christ? If not, that's what this invitation is for. You can come to this altar and someone take a Bible and show you not what the church says, but what God says you must do to be saved. If you're saved, are you building up your Christian life in Him? Are you establishing your testimony? And are you giving thanks? Receive the message. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for the message. And I pray, God, right now that you'd take it and help each one to apply it as they have need to apply it. I pray that your Holy Spirit would right now bear witness with their spirit for the lost, that they would come under this conviction to want to be saved and know what biblical salvation is. For the saved, God, that you would take the blinders that Satan would love to put on them, take them away, help them to see exactly as you would have them to see things. Work in our midst right now and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.